Our reading is Philippians chapter 1. It's picking up in the second part of verse 18. And so hear this word. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So yesterday in this very room, so the same space that we're in right now, there was a memorial service that was held. And a couple of factoids about this memorial service. One of the people present was the first person to be baptized in the new sanctuary, this new sanctuary. He was the first person as a baby to be baptized here because his dad was on the building committee way back when. And there's a number of folks here who had gone to law school and had various degrees of success in their lives, all here to celebrate someone who had lived to be 101 years old. That's a long life. It was a grand celebration. When they went off into the lobby afterwards, they had ice cream sundaes at a memorial service. And so there was lots of celebration of family and friends that was here. It was evidence that even in the midst of death, you could find life. And that was the impact of the life of the one who had gone. Well, as we come to the space tonight, we come to a passage in which the Apostle Paul himself is wrestling with the questions of life and death. Is that for me? The Apostle Paul is wrestling with these questions of life and with death. And as he wrestles with these questions, he's dealing with the issue of he so desperately desires to be united with Christ that he's like, man, I want that. But at the same time, he recognizes that he still has a purpose to fulfill in this life as he goes to encourage those young churches that he has helped plant and those that he continues to encourage. And so he's torn between the two, and he uses that language. Well, I want us to focus tonight here, just in the next couple minutes, on that one verse that's one of the most popular verses in the New Testament. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I want to look at those two words for a second. Life and death, Christ and gain. As we look at this, here's what I want us to hear in this. There's this TED video. I know you guys watch TED. Does anybody watch those TED videos? A few folks do that. There's one right now that's on there if you go, and it talks about dead malls. Has anyone seen that one? It talks about the dead malls. I was watching this a couple weeks ago, and it actually goes through. This guy is a documentary film artist, and he goes through, and he goes to malls that are either on their way out or have been condemned. And so he goes around with his video camera, and he finds these places, and a lot of times he breaks into them, and he goes around, and he just starts filming. And in one of the episodes he filmed, there was a mall that was featured in a 1980s movie. And so he goes and finds the exact location where this scene was shot of a young woman jumping over the escalator, and he's filming that, and he's just going crazy as he does this. And as I was watching this film and thinking about this guy walking through dead malls, I started thinking about my own life and with dead malls. There was this mall in Tukwila, Washington, called the Pavilion Mall. And when it opened up, I remember I went there. It was the first week. It was super exciting. They had this giant caterpillar that kids could climb on, and they hadn't seen that in the other mall that was there in town. And so we were like, yeah, look at that caterpillar. And then there was a fudge shop. That's all the shop did was fudge. And you go in there, it's like this fudge. It's like, they never have those at malls. It's just a fudge shop. And so as a kid, you're like, what? The caterpillar and the fudge shop. Now, I'm sure there was more shops there. But as a kid, that's all I remember from being there. So I remember going in there and thinking, what an exciting place. This place is the greatest mall I've ever been to. I remember I went back about 10 years later. By then, I'm a teenager. And I'm in this mall, and there's a dilapidated caterpillar. It seemed a lot smaller than what I remembered from my childhood. The fudge shop is long gone, as are many of the other shops there. That mall was on its way out. And if you were to go to Tukwila, Washington today, and you were to look for the Pavilion Mall, you won't find it. The developer bought the land, they knocked it down, and they built another set of stores and a movie theater where the Pavilion Mall once stood. And I wonder if in this idea of dead malls, we might transpose or translate ourselves into that thinking. How many times do dead churches emerge who have lost the source of life? Who've lost that place where, for them, they forgot to live as Christ. And because of that, things start shutting down and shops start closing. People start moving away and walking away because they miss somewhere in there, like Paul, who was motivated by a life that was Christ. And that's what keeps them living, and that's what keeps the church living. So I started thinking even more beyond this. I went further down that path, and I started thinking, what does it look like to be one who comes and enjoys a life that is in Christ? What does your story look like at the end of that life? I think today's service day speaks a little bit to that. It tells us what it means to be alive. We're reminded as we go out and serve, as we come together as the body of Christ, of the things that make us alive, that remind us that we have a heartbeat. And Noroten Presbyterian Church has a heartbeat. And has a life. And we're reminded of that joy that comes as we come together, as we live together in community in Christ. We turn back to the words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I was so impacted by this sermon, and I read it this morning, a portion of it. And I want to close this time with these words, because quite frankly, I can't think of better words to say that speak to this, of what it means to have a life that is in Christ so that one might have a death that is gain. Listen to his words as he shares them, again from the drum major instinct. He says, "If any of you are around when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk too long. And every now and then, I wonder what I want them to say. Tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. Tell them not to mention where I went to school. I'd like somebody to mention that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving others. I'd like for somebody to say that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to love somebody. I want you to say that day that I tried to be right on the war question. I want you to be able to say that day that I did try to feed the hungry. And I want you to be able to say that day that I did try in my life to clothe those who were naked. I want you to say on that day that I did try in my life to visit those who were in prison. I want you to say that I tried to love and serve humanity." And he goes on to say, "Yes, if you want to say that I was a drum major, say that I was a drum major for justice. Say that I was a drum major for peace. I was a drum major for righteousness. And all of the other shallow things will not matter. I won't have any money to leave behind. I won't have the fine and luxurious things of life to leave behind. But I just want to leave a committed life behind. And that's all I want to say. If I can help somebody as I pass along, if I can cheer somebody with a word or song, if I can show somebody he's traveling wrong, then my living will not be in vain. If I can do my duty as a Christian ought, if I can bring salvation to a world once wrought, if I can spread the message as the Master taught, then my living will not be in vain. May it be so for our lives as well. Amen."